Hello and welcome to 3 and 2, the podcast where three deeply mediocre Age of Sigmar players pretend we know what we're talking about and share our lukewarm Age of Sigmar takes. I'm your host, Laura, and I'm joined by Rich.
Hello.
And Matthew.
We should really make it 2 hours long so it can be three hosts, 2 hours.
It may yet be. We don't know how much we're going to waffle.
I can't talk about the Battle Scroll for 2 hours.
Okay. Don't often inject time during the editing process rather than cut it out.
Yeah, this month, I think last month we had loads to talk about because two of us had been to Blackout and we'd played lots of games. This month, that is not the case. I think we've all been, to varying extents, a bit distracted by other game systems. Mm. But fortunately, Games Workshop have dropped the latest Battle Scroll update for Age of Sigmar, which has given us something to talk about.
Oh, thank God, content.
So we're going to chat a bit about that and then maybe also talk a little bit about some games we've played. But first, I guess, as usual, we'll cover our hobby updates. Matthew, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can be quick. I've been mega burnt out since Black Belt. So I've got, in front of me, built and unsprayed, so completely unable to start anything on them, and I can't face them anyway. 15 Blood Knights. The new Kaido, whatever his name is, and a couple of other Soulblight characters who maybe I'll stop painting them soon, if I can face it. But apart from that, I have completely repainted the bases on my Odeneth Deepkin with a lot of input from Rich and friend of the pod, Luke. I was trying to decide which name to call him by then, and I went with his actual
Man of many names. Yeah, those bases look really good. I really like what you've done with them now.
Thanks.
Which is not to say that I actively didn't like them before.
You did. You did actively dislike them before, and you told
me. It's not to say that, but I mean, you asked what you could do to improve them, and I think the bases are a standout thing because, you know, the army looks great, and now it looks greater.
Yeah, I was feeling really down on the project, like, partly just because Deepkin are in a pretty poor place in the game at the moment, and just something about the army was annoying me when it was supposed to be my army that was painted as best I could, and I felt it wasn't. And after sort of back and forth with people, we arrived at just something a bit funkier. It was just sort of this all plain brown before, with a brown rim. It was all a bit brown. And the rest of the army is quite bright, which I think was what I was originally going for, was to like mute it a bit versus the brightness of the army. But it's not that bright, and it didn't quite work. Yeah, so it's sort of judicious application of lots of different blues sort of stippled onto where my water effects was. So that's acted as like a water effects on the base before has added like a protective barrier between the paint underneath. So the paint underneath is got some sort of weird effect going on under there now, but I quite like it. I'm quite happy with it.
Did you water over the blue again, or did you decide not to in the end?
No, I haven't. So it's just the blue. And then the bits of cork they were stood on, Rich, you rightly pointed out that it just looked like they were stood on bits of cork.
Making me sound very, very mean.
No, but it's true, right? So just a judicious application of flock and flowers to break that up a bit.
Yeah, you've done exactly what I like doing, which is using like four different scenic products on your bases. Mix them all up.
Yeah, well, the Gen 2 flowers that you can purchase, they do quite a good pack of four different ones in one pack. So I wasn't putting loads of flowers. It wasn't like your Lumineth. I wasn't covering it with a million flowers. So just one pack of the mixed ones gave me a good bit of variety without having to buy a million different products, which is quite nice. Yeah.
Excellent.
Did what I wanted it to do. And now I am way more excited to play with that army than I was. So sort of mission accomplished there.
Cool.
That's good.
I feel like you really undersold your hobby because you said you hadn't done much and actually you've technically finished 60 models or something, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it was probably about 60.
Yeah,
it was really, really quick, I guess. So if you're ever staring at an army and thinking, wow, my bases are underwhelming, it may not be a universal thing that people feel, but I felt that. And it was really easy to fix it, actually. just a bit of help from my friends, a bit of thinking through how to do it, and the actual doing it, once I sat down and like just batched through it. Unlike normal batch painting, it's much quicker. It's like much easier as well. So
cool.
Yeah.
I think I might revisit my Nighthorn, especially if they're what I end up taking to Brotherhood next year.
Mm-hmm. You really like your Nighthorn faces.
As do I. The problem is, especially on the stuff that I did in a huge batch, like the Blade Geists, it's not the like the visual bit of the bases, but a lot of the base rims are like a bit deformed or like have chunks missing from them because I was rushing when I was truing them. And I think at one point I like primed them, stuck to a piece of cardboard, and it like cracked a few of them and stuff when I pulled them off the cardboard. So that's been annoying me for like 4 years.
I feel like you might be the only person who has ever repainted a base rim, and you seem to do it for every army multiple times.
Yeah, and this is me thinking I need to find a way to extract these from these bases and completely rebase them.
Oh, I see.
In the same style, but just so they're like fresh bases.
If I had to pick the worst army to try and do that with in Age of Sigmar,
yeah,
I would have immediately gone to Nighthorn.
Don't worry.
With your like, with like a 1 mil connector to the base.
And they're all plastic glued on as well. So.
I think that's easier than models that have like feet glued to the base, though, because then you're just going to end up breaking half their feet off.
Yeah.
If it's only a tiny connector, you can just break it and it won't matter that much.
We'll see. Yeah. I have like grand ideals of if they are what I take, I want to do like a polish pass on the whole army and maybe like edge highlight all the robes and stuff. So basing might come into that as well.
Huh. What hobby have you done this last month?
I was just looking at when our last episode was, because I think the answer from an AOS point of view is absolutely nothing. Since we last recorded, I did finish that 1,000 points of Hallowed Knights that I was talking about and took them to a little narrative event with a little board. I did a little, like, I think it was just like a tiny whiteboard from WH Smith's or something. And I like textured it and then put the Nurgle tree on it and some plague bearers like advancing. So it looked like it was some Hallowed Knights in the Garden of Nurgle. That was fun.
Yeah, I think it looked really good. It's really strong connection to the theme whilst not being over the top with it. Like, you know exactly what's going on there, but it was still gave you the grounded feel that you were looking for, I think, with that.
And it was magnetic.
Nice.
So they all stuck to it as well.
And the extremely fashionable at the moment, mucky feet. Everything's got to have a mucky foot.
Love mucky feet on models. Yeah, it's my favourite. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with them. I will do more. I've got, I won't say a stack, but I've got a selection of sort of stuff to add to them, like various Dominion leftovers and a couple of other bits. So they're on the roster somewhere. But I think
if you wait long enough, the new Hatchet thing comes out, right? The new part works.
Yeah, and that isn't going to help with the part of me that was like, cool boys are quite cool. I don't know that I actually want to do a cruel boys army, but I mean, I might do what I did with the last one, the 40k one Imperium, which is subscribe for like the first 30 or so issues, and then just be like, I have an insurmountable pile of stuff.
Yeah,
but yeah, certainly, like I think within the first 4 issues, there's like another loads of like 5 Vindictors for £8 or whatever. So there's definitely going to be some that I snap up. I think that's all the AOSing I've done, really, though. I've done quite a lot of list thinking for various factions.
I reckon you should share your armies on Parade Triumph, even though it isn't AOS. It was a very good hobby.
Okay. Yeah, I could do that. Oh, no. Please don't make me talk about success. Sam is so horrified at that thought. I took my existing Tomekeeper Space Marine army to Games Workshop and made a board for them, painted a little bit of terrain for them to stand on, and I won armies on parade, so I won't go into too much detail. I basically did with the board what I'd done for the little Knights one, just on a slightly bigger scale, on like a cork board.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck a few lumps of cork down and stuff. Really simple, but yeah, it's, I think, like the last 3 armies I've done, I've based in the same way, so I have a lot of swampy stuff kicking around. So that board might get reused on double duty at some point, but
it's nice. Probably quite a good plan, just have a generic display board you can use with a lot of different things when you need one.
Yeah.
It's a good idea. And being swampy, that just sounds like a man who is thinking a lot about Gloomspike kits.
Yeah, ironically, the trogs that I have painted so far, I have done kind of like swampy cavey bases, but completely differently. God, or almost completely differently. So I think I did use some of the same green gunk, actually. But yeah, so that's a hobby triumph.
Yeah.
How about you, Laura? Any hobby this last month?
Mainly, I've been painting Anglo-Danes for Saga. I painted quite a lot of Warhammer Underworld stuff, and that was sufficiently Age of Sigmar adjacent that I feel I can count it. So I painted the Khorne Warband, which were the last warband that came out for the previous season of Underworld. They were quite fun. Three big, chunky Chaos Lads.
There are three Khorne Warbands now. I'm so out of the loop, it's unreal.
Okay. There are three Khorne Warbands now.
I nearly bought those guys the other day just because I was looking at the back of the box and I have a picture of the leader priest guy at actual size, and he is huge.
They're all huge. They're massive.
He's so tall. Like, yeah, they're really big. I knew, obviously, the like slightly deformed guy with the who's like,
yeah,
I don't know, the he's had some kind of Khorneite blessing. He's huge, but I didn't realise the main priest is just like 2.5-3 inches tall.
Yeah, they're all really cool models, and they're a fun warband to play as well if you want to get back into Underworlds. So yeah, I painted them, and I've just got the new box set that came out, Gnarlwood. So now I'm painting the Sons of Velmorn, which are the new skeleton warband, which are really cool models. I'm really enjoying them and doing them as sort of whites rather than skeletons, I guess. So they've got sort of green ghostly bones.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've never been very good at painting bone colour, so trying to find ways to avoid it.
Yeah. So they have War Scrolls yet, or is this?
Not that I've seen, but they have only been out for 4 days, so you know, we'll give them a bit of a break.
I saw someone theorizing that they're coming tomorrow, in fact, but I don't know where that logic was coming from. So
it's usually pretty quick, so I'd have thought they'd get them fairly soon.
Does this new box coming out mean I can actually get my hands on that old Skaven warband now?
So really, as long as you also want Age of Sigmar. They have brought it out without all the cards and things, but it is with Shadowstalkers. So it's done in like a joint box with them. Okay. So you have to get someone else to buy the Shadowstalker half.
Still has the faction cards, right? Just not the like all the generic stuff and the boards.
Yeah, I don't actually know because I already own it, so I paid very little attention.
Champions
Rivals of Nethermaze, I think.
Rivals of Nethermaze. And it's like £47.50 instead of £60, and for that you don't get like dice and a board and stuff. It's a bit
I don't want dice and a board or whatever.
I'm sure you could sell the Shadowstalker warband to someone, even me, perhaps. So
they've got, I would say, significantly less good in the new version, so be a bit careful. But they're still really cool models.
Yeah.
They're a really cool model, actually.
Yeah, all the recent Underworlds models have been really nice. But yeah, mainly I'm just trying to clear out all my unpainted stuff because I am very soon going to buy a large amount of Slaves to Darkness Age of Sigmar stuff and just paint nothing but that for a few months, so I'm trying to get everything else out of the way.
I'm looking forward to playing against new Slaves to Darkness.
Yeah, I've paid very little attention to any information about rules because I've never really understood Slaves to Darkness, so I'm kind of waiting for the new book to come out so I can have it in my hands and then I will try and actually understand it. So far I've just looked at lots of pictures of nice miniatures and gone, ooh, I'd quite like to paint that.
It's going to be a big book when it comes out, isn't it? I think it's going to be very popular.
People love chaos.
In theory, my Slaves to Darkness army is meant to be a narrative army, but it sounds like Chaos Warriors might be going to be all right. So it might turn into a competitive army. We'll see how we do.
It's always the curse of narrative armies, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, ideally, it could be both. That would be great. I can run the bad stuff as a narrative army and then also use it competitively. That's the ideal. I'm sure it won't happen.
All this extra stuff. It could be good as well.
Well, I have painted Bellicor, and that was really always going to be with more of a view to using him competitively than narratively, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Bellendicor.
Hey.
There we go.
Hate him. He can get in the bin.
I don't think I've ever played against him. A bit like lizards. I hate them, but it's purely a theoretical hate, as I've never played them.
I think because I hate Archaeons, so I quite like Bellicor because he's sort of the opposing faction.
I also hate Archaon, and I have played against him fucking constantly. So
you've got to like one of Bellacore and Archaon. You've got to pick a side. We're going to get stick now for me pronouncing Archaon wrong.
The side I picked in Grand Alliance Chaos is the side of the rats.
Well, that's fair. Okay, we'll let you off. Right, shall we talk about the battle school?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, how are we gonna talk? Does someone want to give a sort of quick overview of what it is, and then maybe we can just take it in turns to share some hot takes about it?
Sure. So, Battle Scroll is their... How often are they supposed to come out? 6 monthly?
Quarterly.
Quarterly?
Quarterly. Oh God, are they quarterly?
Yeah. It's like the quarterly AOS balance pass. Yeah. I think that's what it's supposed to be, yeah. They seem to be taking a different tack with each one to see what works and what doesn't, which is fine. I'm quite happy for Games Workshop to experiment with different ways to balance the game until they find one that they like. This one's quite different. Was the last one the Hunt? No.
No.
The Hunt was the one before.
Mm.
Yeah. So this time, instead of tinker, it's kind of like a small amount of errata, and then the vast bulk of the balance changes here are points, which is not what they've done before with this, and they seem to have implied in the past that they didn't want to use points to balance in this way. So it's quite exciting to see them do this, because to be honest, personally, I don't know about you guys, I would rather they reached for points first, unless something was truly busted on a scroll level or a rules level. I'd rather they left the words in the book intact.
Yeah. Definitely agreed.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can get into the detail, but a lot of the points changes look reasonably sensible. I haven't seen too many people having a massive whinge. So maybe that's just because I've been on the wrong bits of Twitter. But
you haven't been on Uruk Twitter.
Do you want to kick us off then and have a massive whinge about what this has done to your bones?
Save that epic gamer rant for later. For errata-wise, it's like they took the previous Purple Sun nerf and just rolled that into the Battle Scroll, which is nice. Nice to have one place to find all of the changes. Again, I think they confirmed that it's just one Battle Scroll forever now, so you just ignore previous ones and it's just all of it is in one place. And the other thing they've done, which I really like in this, is that because of that all-in-one-place approach, they have done the pink text changes within the Battle Scroll. So they've kept some of the old changes, and new changes are in pink, like in their FAQs, which is good.
Presumably they won't not only have the latest set of points changes each time, because points are kind of live, I guess.
The other amazing thing they've done with the points is, instead of just having what the new points are, they've told you what the change is as well, which is very nice.
Yes, definitely appreciated that.
So in terms of like actual changes, you've got quite a light slap on the wrist for Beasts of Chaos, who have been doing very well since their White Dwarf update. So they had two of the units that got spammed a lot. So the Cockatrice list has had a big points bump if you're taking like 10 Cockatrices. To be honest, what that Cockatrice list loses is one Cockatrice, probably.
I feel like I haven't seen that list for a while. Right.
It's basically a targeted nerf to one guy.
Right. Is it a guy in America?
No, it's a UK player, I think. He's the only person I've actually seen run it in real life. It's a bit like when they targeted nerfed Owen Jackson with the OBR Nagash list. No one else was playing that. They were like, you specifically, fuck off. So that got a bit nerfed. The other beast unit that was getting spammed out was Dragon Ogres. That got a bit nerfed. Their ability to generate primordial call points, which is their summoning mechanic, got very slightly nerfed. But I think from seeing beast players talk about it, it doesn't really affect how much they actually summon turn by turn. They can still summon multiple units a turn. So they probably get away with it. The Dragon Ogre points hike hurts the spam army, but they've got so much stuff you could take that
I feel like they're quite good if you just take Ungors and like other chaff, because you can take so much of it and off it all with the Hearthstone, right? So
yeah, the rest of the army is so cheap. There's so many scrolls in there that are fine. I mean, there's lots that are garbage, but I think they'll still be fine. The most important change, I should say, in the whole Battle Scroll is that you can have Battle Line of Ragnarok spiders now.
Yes.
There you go.
But only one type of Ragnarok spider.
It's the one with the howdah full of grots. It's the one nobody built. But
cool.
Fine. If you want to now do, I think you can take 10 spiders. First, no, is that too many? Maybe it's 9.
Is it like 9 Arachnorocs and the web spinner?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the little one. Yeah.
So it's technically 10, it's just not 10 big spiders.
So you can do that army if you want now, which I assume Ben Johnson is already painting.
That is so much table real estate. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like,
so this 160 mil
bases, right?
Yeah, so they are. They're big bases. The War Scrolls still awful. They've got no damage. They're like 8 attacks with 1 damage and 3 or 4 with D3 damage. It's terrible. Their output. But like you say, gosh, will they take up a large amount of the board?
They won't fit in the deployment zone for that map with the tiny deployment zone.
They will not. No, which is quite exciting. Some of them can deploy off the table.
Okay.
It's Strands and Deep Strike.
You can have you can have 3 Deep Striking.
Rich, what is your Battle Scroll highlight?
Oh, God. Where to go? I think I quite like the changes to the Stormcast, actually. And I know that's probably not it's not one of the headline things, but pretty much everything in Stormcast, or not everything, but like lots of the things that are cool and you would, you know, especially if you were getting into the game, you would like be able to pick up off the shelf in GW and buy and think this is cool and build. Just kind of in list building gets pushed to the side in favor of like just bringing more Vindictors or, you know, just bringing something a bit more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like Vanquishers, the double sword guy, two-handed sword guys. I'm getting that right. Those are Vanquishers.
They are, yeah.
They've come down, I think.
They are now the cheapest battle line
option, yeah. Which is cool because they can put, and interesting because maybe they're not quite as survivable as like Liberators, but they can put out more damage. So that's an interesting option. The big, is it a Tauralon mage? I think that's what it's called, Aventus.
Yeah. Right. This is weird.
He gets taken, right? He's quite good.
He was already better than the generic Tauralon mage because he's got like one better rend on his melee weapon or whatever, and he's unique, so you can't put enhancements on him. So, okay. Mm-hmm. But he's a 2 spellcaster, and the generic Tauralon, for some ungodly reason, is a 1 spellcaster. He is now cheaper than the generic one.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That is quite weird.
I don't understand why the generic Tauralon didn't also come down 40 bucks.
I've never seen anyone take the generic Tauralon, and I've seen people take Aventus quite a lot, so maybe they just forgot the generic one existed.
My problem with the Stormcast changes is they're all good. These are all good changes, like the change to Ancrontis, good. Change to Praetors, good. Probably almost gets them into a place where you take them. Vigilers are unusable. The points drop on Yndrasta, very spicy. I think that makes her very interesting now. The list of things that got to changes could be 3 times as long.
Oh, yeah. There's always like, not rumors or accusations, but sort of vague commentary of like, GW or the design studio just kind of like constantly forgetting the previous couple of waves of Stormcast stuff that they've done. And so like almost no mention of stuff that just never gets brought.
Yeah. But I guess you could make an argument
that is like unusable right now. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah.
I guess you could make an argument that the Battle Scroll should be more about fixing the stuff that's being used, and then it's when there's a new GHB they should make bigger changes to stuff.
Just
in terms of sort of focusing the resource effort, I would rather they were, if there's a limited amount of resource that goes into the Battle Scroll, I feel like fixing Sacrosanct Chamber shouldn't be top of the list.
I feel like their stated goal, isn't it, something like they want every battle scroll, in terms of when they talk about internal balance, they want every war scroll in a book to be used in at least 5% of recorded lists, I think. And that seems like an impossible task with Stormcast, because they have like so many war scrolls. Yeah,
you're right in that. I think their stated goal for when they were talking about the battle scroll was that they were focusing more on external balance, which is fair enough. Yeah. On the other hand, it's not a huge amount of extra work.
Shield Annihilators coming down 20 is nice as well, compared to what, 240 for the hammer ones?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised the Annihilators were on the list of stuff that came down, to be honest. Yeah.
They are significantly less impactful. But I think it's really nice. I think it helps Stormcast a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some interesting changes there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big dragons coming down as well. Like, I'd like to see more of those. I don't personally, they've never done it for me as a thing that is a Stormcast model, but you know. They exist. It would be nice. Lots of people like the models. It'd be nice for them to see the table more. So,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite bit, I think.
Yeah, I guess OBR point changes, I think, are quite good. Again, I think they could have been a bit more ambitious. A lot of the things that have changed are the things that no one takes, like Immortus Guard and the Morghasts. But the Populous Stalkers coming down is meaningful. I think an army with the Stalker Heavy is probably one of the better OBR armies you could take at the moment. And the Crawler and the Harvester are both, you know, decent. I think the issue is OBR, all the OBR stuff is quite expensive. And I think it's unlikely that many OBR armies have multiples of these things in. So in quite a lot of cases, I feel like these tweaks are maybe are not necessarily going to give you space to put another unit in your army. But that said, there's also probably someone desperately trying to make an OBR army that previously came to 2020 points and now is feasible. And I do think, I think points is in OBR need a new book, but until that happens, points is the best way to address the fact they're not doing very well at the moment. Like, it's really hard to tweak them without giving them a complete rewrite. So I think some points reductions is quite a sensible reaction to where they are in the win rate lists at the moment.
Necrostalkers coming down is a really obvious, that's not an internal balance change, that's an external balance change.
Yeah, definitely.
I think with stuff like the Mortec Crawler coming down 15 points, it doesn't make an actual difference to your army building. But I play a lovely video game called Defense of the Ancients, and one thing they do with their balance passes is they do changes to the like a individual hero that aren't meaningful, but they kind of, they're there to remind you that that hero exists. Like, if they're not being played a lot, but the developers think they're actually pretty good, it's like a notice me patch. Like, hey, Mortec Crawlers are still really good. Maybe remember that. I mean, you took one and you were quite happy with it at Blackout, right?
Yeah, so, definitely. I don't think I'd take two, but you know, it might mean that there's a variant of my list where I can fit 10 more Mortec Guard or something in now.
But it's not necessarily about making you take two. It's being like, for people who have just written Mortec Crawlers off completely, to make them look at them again. Yeah, I think that's what that sort of points change does.
Yeah.
I would say that what you said about Bone Reapers, they haven't been very ambitious. I think apart from two armies, that is how I would describe all of the points changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's maybe worth talking a little bit about the Quanspine Incarnate, which went up 80 points. And I think maybe one thing I'm slightly concerned about with these points tweaks is that I feel like taking an Incarnate was quite a good way to boost an army that wasn't that great and make it better. And I worry a little bit that it's going to be a case of where armies that weren't doing that well have got points reductions. The fact that the Incarnate now costs 80 more points is going to kind of cancel that out a bit. But I don't really have a good sense of what proportion of armies were taking an Incarnate, I think.
So I mean, my initial knee-jerk reaction when I read this was that Feck are fully in the bin with this, because it was an army that was propped up by two war scrolls. One was the Incarnate, and before the Incarnate, it was the Gatebreaker, who just got made quite so significantly worse in the new Bayomat book. So both of those things the army was relying on got... I think the Incarnate, you still take it, right? You just... If your army needs it, you shift the point plus 80 points. Sure.
I mean,
you
I just, guess
you make it fit.
I don't really think that the right way to balance a game is to have incarnates that less good armies take and it makes them better. So I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing. If loads and loads of people were taking the incarnate, I'd rather they made it slightly less attractive. But I do think it's a bit of a... It's maybe a sort of counter-argument to points as the answer to fixing things, because, like you say, I think there were some armies where the incarnate going up will be a bigger negative than any of the things that have been done with the intent of boosting that army.
Yeah. Just slap the big old narrative sticker on it and walk away.
Yeah. I mean, I think when the incarnate first came out, I was really against it. Having now played against it and with it a few times, I think it's basically fine. It's not a particular... at least I don't find it a particular negative play experience, but I guess... Having any model that every army can take is just always a balanced challenge, right? Because either it's going to be good and loads of people will take it, or no one will ever take it, and it's quite hard to get somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Definitely agree,
Like how people complain about Arcane Tone, but on a much larger and more impactful scale.
Yeah. And also incarnate, like mirror matches where there's one on each side, are not fun. Because it just comes down to which incarnate swings first kind of thing. So, yeah. Is it time to talk about Bone Splitters?
Let's talk about Uruk War Clans. Well, no, let's save them. Come on, Gloomspike Gits. Right. Everything's down a million points. Surely this army is good and all.
Trog boss, but not regular Dankhold Trogoth for some reason.
Hateful.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like there must be a new book for them coming reasonably soon, so surely there must.
Yeah, I feel there's not many left to do now, right? So
hopefully this makes them better. You could probably fit more squigs in than you used to be able to.
I mean, -20 on aggregate on like half the war scrolls in the book. Basically, everything that isn't a trog came down 20 points. That's at the level where you are fitting one or two more units in than you used to. It's like quite a lot, over the course of a whole army. So I think you will see more people playing them and more people doing okay with them. There's still like fundamental problems to the army, like you said, like with Bone Reapers, there are just problems that need a book fix. But
for sure, I do feel like there's a bit of sort of community defiance creeping in the last couple of years of like, no, we will love Gits and we will play them anyway from certain people, like which is great. Like, there's always going to be people that whose love for goblins will outweigh their love of winning or damaging anything. It's good to see that people are still playing. We maybe mentioned Maggotkin as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a big, well, not huge buff, but not buff, sorry, debuff, but some pretty chunky points increases for the Puskoyle Blightlords, the flies at 15 points per model, basically, whether you take them in ones or twos. And then also two of the Magoth Lords, Bloab and Orgots, went up 20, as did the Lord of Afflictions, and like all of these models were mainstays in like tournament Magikin armies.
So if you were playing the Fly Spam and Crunspine build, which I think you saw a lot of Fly Spam, I don't know how much Fly Spam and Crunspine you saw, but if you are running that, I think that army is the one that's gone up the most.
In the battle scroll. Your average fly list has gone up like 100-ish points by itself. Add on 80 from the cron spine, minus a bit from like a unit of flies in exchange or whatever. So, but I think I'm a person with a Magikin army. I don't own that Magikin army, so I'm a bit insulated from the changes. But I think it's good because genuinely think almost everything in that book is perfectly valid to put on the table.
Yeah.
And I think this leads to some more interesting tournament builds. And it makes me feel better about potentially taking them to a tournament because, like, A, I'm less likely to come up against a mirror match where they're just going to be better at scenarios than me because they've brought all the flies. And B, there's actually, like, an interesting list building challenge as well. I don't feel like I'm immediately hamstringing myself by not taking eight flies and a Lord of Afflictions. So,
yeah.
That fly spam build... It was the problem with it was a combination of it was powerful, like it won games, but it also some armies have nothing they can do about it because it's one drop, and it's in your if it wants to be it's charge it's the entire army is in your deployment zone turn one, and if you don't have an ability to reposition,
Nurgle's notoriously tough to shift, and then you are stuck in your deployment zone for the rest of the game, and you lose that way.
If it can take a fun way
to play Age of Sigmar, right?
If it can take home objectives off you on turn one, yeah, that's always something to try and bounce back from.
It's a similar problem when the old Tzeentch book came out, and you had the big unbreakable blobs of unretreatable from horrors teleporting into you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seraphon continue to fucking get away with it.
Reasonably chunky points increases this time. Yeah. It's just stuff that they take.
It is, but I think having looked at Seraphon players and Seraphon players' armies, it doesn't actually affect the end result.
It's better than nothing, though.
Yeah. I saw one person saying that their triumph bid had gone down a bit, which, you know.
I think
there are some armies where this will make a 60-70 point difference, which feels significant enough.
Yeah, I think the if you're running double Skink Priest Proke Astrolith Bearer Engine of the Gods, then maybe you have to lose one of the Skink Priests, or a unit of Skinks, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is a result. I just think it's surprising. I'm surprised at how much they got away with it. A bit like Beasts. It feels like they're kind of getting away with it.
I feel like they've got to be, Seraphon have got to be another candidate for a book fairly soon, right? Like,
yeah.
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 Cities of Sigmar?
Do we care?
No, not really. The Corinthians and the War Hydra.
I don't care.
They got cheaper. They both still suck.
I think Executioners at one, if I had to offer any kind of take, Executioners at 110 are very good.
Yeah, and I think
about it.
The Black Dragons are a little bit more interesting at 20 points cheaper as well, especially the Dreadlord, but they're kind of like,
they're okay. The Dreadlord on Black Dragon used to be really good in Living City, but that combo doesn't work anymore, so yeah, fine, whatever.
What about the Soulbreak Gravelord ones? Is that anything anyone takes? It looks potentially all right.
So, White Kings are interesting in that they unlock specific battle line. So that battle line's not seeing astonishing amount of play at the moment, but if Bounty Hunters disappears, Grave Guards suddenly look a lot sexier, and yes, you will see White Kings. You also saw White King on Skeletal Steeds sometimes in the Castellai armies as like a cheap and fast way to hold their buffs. So yeah, sure, fine. Terrorgeist and Zombie Dragon, people keep saying that the unmounted Terrorgeist and Zombie Dragons are really good, and then no one ever takes them. So I don't actually believe they're very good. I have
very
used
good,
them.
But you'd always... Sorry.
Yeah, I've played that army and it's okay. It's just so swingy. They're not really worth it. Maybe it's better now. I don't really think it's a big deal. Those points breaks, I did look it up. They don't let you take anything extra if you do a Zombie Dragon or Terrorgeist spam army.
Boo.
So you can't fit another monster in. Blood Seeker Palanquin's terrible. Nefrata is actually good, and people already took her, so that's
that's a nice change.
Grumpy that Nefrata got a point drop, and Arcan didn't.
I guess Arcan's still a linchpin in that army, right? Even though internal thing, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Who knows?
Before we talk Warclans, was there anything in the FAQs anyone wants to mention?
I think the clarification of some of the spellcasting, or not the like spellcasting, but like the things that interact with spellcasting and spell effects were good. So the obvious thing that this came up for me in a game recently was Mireborn Banshees and cancelling out like the Purple Sun's effect of, or like an AoE spell of some kind. And it's, it clarifies that if you've got an effect like that, it's only the first time it affects something. It's not like everything it affects when you cast a spell. And it also does specifically have to target something to work out. So,
yeah, similarly, I think there were sensible clarifications for a few things that have come up in my games, like whether Wildwood's block line of sight to an endless spell was a really weird one that now is just clarified and you don't have to spend 10 minutes pointing out all the bits of the rules that interact with it. And similarly, there are some good clarifications about garrisoned models counting as being on the battlefield for various things, which as a KO player comes up quite a lot and was not at all clear previously. So that's nice.
Yeah. There's the early, very probably too early FAQ that came out for Sylvaneth that someone pressed the button on a few hours early. They are technically nerfs to that army, but it's all like quality of play changes, clarifying how strike and fade works with timing interactions with like fight on death and stuff. So you can fight on death into striking and fading Sylvaneth, which is good.
That's a good clarification.
That's a good change, yeah.
And your tree singing, you can't tree sing endless spells anymore, which also good. It doesn't alter the balance of power that much, but it's probably a good quality of life change.
Yeah.
They probably didn't need to have done it. It could have been like a nice unique thing for the army to have, but doesn't matter too much.
Rich, do you want to bemoan the lack of a FAQ for Teclis?
A little bit, yeah. I still don't know if this is intentional or not, but it's perfectly clear rules as written, and I think you literally could not argue it the other way. It's no longer automatically knows all three spell laws. I
caught this one. None of the other content creators on the internet caught this one, but I caught it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there you go. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
I got paid nothing for that, Rich.
Exactly. So yeah, just a couple of things. You can't like use cheese to boost Teclis's number of spell casts once you've chosen how many auto cast spells he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew you could.
No, I think I probably would have not come to the conclusion that you could.
So does it also mean that he don't lose casts if he takes damage later in the hero phase for whatever reason?
Yes, I think that is true. Because you can never gain or lose a number of spell casts once you choose how many spells he casts. Yeah.
So, very edge case. If you damned terrain Teclis down a bracket,
then
he doesn't lose casts.
Yeah, I mean, which people will be doing all the time, obviously.
Hey, I mean, when you've got to charge Teclis in to win a game, sometimes you've got to damn terrain, you know?
Maybe.
You say it's the ultimate edge case and you'll do it in the next game you play with him.
I would never have thought of it before, you can guarantee. So, yeah, you've probably cursed me now. Or damned me.
Nice.
So, yeah, I think the community was probably about 50-50 split on whether they assumed that Teclis's spell knowledge was intentionally restricted or not. Realistically, I mean, I'm not massively familiar with the new tome yet, but because each law has... Well, most of the laws have been trimmed down a bit as well.
Yeah, they have.
I found quite often if I was casting four spells of Teclis, it's like, you know, you do his two War Scroll spells, you do a total eclipse maybe, or you do that with someone else, and you like go, I don't know, Mystic Shield, or if you've cast total eclipse somewhere else, you do like, oh, flip through the book and find something. So I think planning a bit more and picking at least one or maybe two, depending on the battalions you take, I don't think it's that restrictive, honestly, but...
I think what this means now is he has to bolt or shield with one of his spells if you take all four, because he only knows three spells.
By default, yeah.
Yeah, and what you're probably losing in your toolbox is the teleport, which is potentially...
Situational, normally, right, yeah.
Yeah, there's not a huge amount of reason to run a Wind Mage, really, at all, so...
No. War Scroll's always been a bit weird.
I think the other
goading arrogance moment for a while. Yeah. I feel like for about 3 months, people were taking it with goading arrogance, but that's all changed now as well.
So glad goading arrogance is gone.
The other big hit on Teclis is just how good Skinari Wizards are.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, they essentially do the same thing. So when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an exciting book, I think. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to see no major FAQs immediately. It feels like it's going to be a lot smoother to play and less upsetting for the people that were getting upset by playing against it. So,
mm-hmm.
And yet Total Eclipse still exists.
It does, but you know.
Yeah, but it's like the only thing like that in the book now.
Yeah, okay. We'll let them have one.
Yeah, I think one of the roll versus bravery spells is still there somewhere as well. But,
I think those are okay. You don't really mind them.
Yeah. I think they're fine now.
Yeah.
Right. We can't put it off any longer.
Okay.
We've got to talk about Warclans.
We've got to talk about Cruel Boys, right? Cruel Boys.
I'm quite excited by the core voice changes.
This is, I think, the biggest change, right? This will be the most impactful change on the actual meta, I think.
Yeah. The Shaman change I've wanted to see for ages. I think that's just straight up
that's
a great
good.
Change.
Yeah, I am mad about that.
Every list now includes two Shamans immediately.
Bone Splitters have two wizards that give up their spells to do an ability, and that didn't change for Bone Splitters.
Including an extraordinarily good ability.
So that's fine, but the War Doc, no one has ever taken that War Scroll. And
I don't even know what he does. So.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. He can dance.
Okay. That sounds nice.
He can give up his spells to dance.
What does that achieve?
It's actually pretty good. It can give you plus one save.
That's very good.
Yeah.
You're only going to use your spell to cast Mystic Shield anyway, so shush.
Yeah. I want both. The default save in my army is 6+. I can have this.
Yeah, fair, okay. And how many points does that army cost you now?
Oh my god. So, but cool boys, everything's come down 20 points. So you genuinely will get a whole other thing in that army now.
Seeing lots of like two Sludge Raker and Vulture lists bouncing around with still like without sacrificing a reasonably decent core of models as well. Yeah. So
Gut Whippers coming down is really nice because they were just overcosted.
20 points less. So good.
They're cheaper than Savage Orcs now.
That is weird.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
Oh, that's so cool though. Oh, no. Maybe just a few.
Yeah. So going into this, I expected Bone Splitters to get points changes up front. Obviously, they're the highest win rate army in the game at the point this was probably written. There is an argument that I would make that there is the highest win rate army based on about 4 people playing them worldwide.
Yeah.
Which is the same argument as I made previously when they were technically the worst army in the game, that they weren't actually that bad. It's just nobody played them. And so any one or two particularly good or bad performances had a wild swing on what their win rate looked like, right? Like a blackout, there were 2 Bone Splitters players. We both went 3-2. That's a 60% win rate. But 2 people going 3-2 is hardly devastating the blackout meta.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
And there are other things going on involved in that win rate as well, like the preponderance of Nurgle. So many people playing Nurgle and so many Nurgle lists doing very, very well. Bone Splitters is specific counter to that matchup. It's really difficult for the Nurgle players to win that, in my experience.
Definitely.
So there's an inherent change in win rate. As Nurgle get worse and fewer people take them, you'll encounter that matchup less, and you'll be encountering matchups that are harder for you more, so your win rate goes down. It's going to be my argument there up front that these nerfs are insane. So Wergold Prophet plus 20 points. Okay, yeah, fair cop. It's worth 170. I'll take one, I'll take two. Fine. What this probably stops is people taking 5. Which is
good, I feel, though.
It wasn't a good army anyway, but fine.
No, but it was not necessarily a hugely fun one to play against.
I would be very annoyed while someone rolled 5 Wergog abilities in a row at me.
Yeah.
That would be very annoying.
My experience with Wergogs is that very often, you know, when people know what they do, they play in such a way as to make it more difficult for you to utilize that ability. Obviously, in melee matchups, that can be impossible, but you can still control to an extent what they can target.
I guess there must be a really difficult thing to balance points-wise, because they have the potential to kill single-handedly something that's 500 points, but they're not going to do that in every game. So
that's quite true. I think they're about right. 170... Fine. I think 150 was probably a bit cheap. I'm fine with that. It's kind of what I expected. The Big Stabbers, I kind of was expecting plus 5, and I thought maybe plus 10 if they were feeling particularly brutal. They did with plus 20. Plus 20 points is the same that they gave to Croak, and is like a percentage of what each of those things costs.
Yeah, that's a 25% increase for the Stabbers, right? Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because because an army that takes Big Stabbers is going to take loads of them, that it's a problem, I guess. Like, if it was a unit that people were taking one or two of, you would just sort of shrug your shoulders and go, fine, but you're probably taking 8 of them.
They're not designed to be taking 2 of them, because then they don't do anything.
Yeah.
The it's kind of the difficulty in that the army is obviously designed to tank a turn and then swing back. You're supposed to, the way the army is very obviously designed is you're supposed to flood the board, receive a charge, tank that charge, and then swing back and grind out the game. And your swing back is the big status. They've got the 3-inch reach. You're meant to stand them behind the, like, there's a really obvious design process involved in bone splitters, and that's how it's supposed to work. Maybe people were taking too many. The armies with like 14 units of them. Yes, that's probably too many. I'd argue that's maybe not the best bone splitters army anyway. It did well regardless. So I don't, people are always going to spam stuff, right? So the other thing that changed here is that Maniacs, which is the other unit that does any damage at all, went up 10 points. I took unit 10 Maniacs from a blackout list, found them very underwhelming. Don't really understand why they went up. You didn't see them spammed that much. Basically, all this change means is that if you just spam a different unit now, you spam Boar Boys.
Regular Boar Boys, right?
Yeah. And you spam them in a different subfaction. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to... I think that they needed to... So other armies went up, like the other good armies went up, like you said, 100 points, 50 points on Seraphon, maybe 70 if you're feeling spicy. This army, my blackout army, which was, I took a few big stabbers. I only took 7, which is not crazy because they're not like a big investment in points, and took 7 units of them. My army's gone up 220 points. So
the Savage Big Boss go up as well?
No, it didn't. No,
but you just can't fit as many in now.
So what it means is you drop your big bosses. So I've been writing Bone Splitters list with the new points, and what I'm finding I'm doing is I'm spamming something completely different. So I'm spamming Boar Boys, which I don't physically own, so I can't do that army. Or I'm dropping out the toys that I had, so the Maniacs or the big bosses or the non-Wurgog wizards that I did have.
Yeah.
They're going. And I'm keeping the big stabbers in there. So the last list I wrote had even more big stabbers than the one I ran before. Because
you don't drop the second Wurgog. I guess that just feels like the most obvious way to take a thing out that's a decent block of points and doesn't affect the sort of ball control angle.
No.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. I think he's too useful. I'd rather drop other stuff first. Because like you said, they're really good. They contain the ability to kill anything in the game, right? Whereas Savage Big Bosses are really nice, and I really like playing with them. They're really fun. But if I'm playing competitively, they're probably the first thing that goes. And so with the boars, they just sort of existed to die, and I can... There's stuff that does that cheaper now. So, yeah. The army still probably be fine. It'll do okay, but I'm not excited to play anymore. So... Well, that sort of murdered my Brotherhood clans because I probably was going to take Bone Splitters and I probably will not now. But yeah, I just kind of wish that it feels really knee-jerk and it feels like they could have thought a little bit more deeply about it. But it is what it is. I understand that what's probably happened is someone's seen a load of armies spamming the same thing and they've gone, we have to stop spam. But it's nothing else in the army. You have to spam something.
Yeah, it's not a broad spectrum of War Scrolls, is it?
It is 2 kits, so you do have to spam something. So anyway, I'm annoyed, and I'll get over it, but for the moment, very annoyed.
On that positive note, any final Battle Scroll thoughts, or should we move along?
They did not change the rules text on Laush on the Soul Seeker, so Thankwall continues to be able to surf into battle on him. Love it. Thank you.
Rats. Boom.
It will cost 20 points more than it used to, so that's okay.
I will pay it every day of the week. I guess what that maybe changes is I wrote some Soul Blight lists for a laugh that took the new Kado, whatever his name is, vampire.
He's cool. Yeah.
He's really cool. He's really fighty. He's quite slow. He's got an ability to go faster, but you can't use that and the fight ability in the same turn. So he quite likes surfing up in Laush on, and maybe not at 50 points, but it's a fun ability rather than a powerful one necessarily.
Yeah.
And I'll switch.
Activate.
Right.
Technical error over.
Shall we talk about some games we've played, if we have, in fact, played any games?
Oh, actually, can I have one more hot take?
It better be good.
I want to shout out to whoever wrote into the FAQ to ask if the Idenef Deepkin Flood Tide ability that says you can run and shoot or charge, if that means you can shoot and charge. No, that's what the words say. You do what the words say.
I guess if you imply or in the sense of computer logic, it would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that one, friend.
I don't want rules to start saying exclusive or.
All right.
Okay. That was my last hot take.
Have we played any games?
I have, but you have.
I said no, and then you told me I was wrong and I had played a game.
Yeah, you beat me with Nighthaunt.
Yes, you did play a game.
I've played a few. I don't want to do sort of blow by blows, but I just thought I would talk briefly about how I am quite sad about Caradon Overlords and quite happy about Gargants. So I've played a couple of games with Caradon with a sort of view to possibly making them my next competitive army. And I pretty much used a net list that someone in America had been doing well with. I think it's one of the guys from the Seasons of War podcast. I can't remember the exact details, but it's an Ironclad, some Arcanauts, some Thunderers, an Incarnate, a few small heroes, and I think maybe a Gunhauler and a Purple Sun. So that list is now probably no longer viable because the Incarnate and the Purple Sun have both gone up significantly in points.
Yeah. More, right, yeah.
Yeah. So I played a couple of games trying to get my head around it and did very badly. So, I really struggle with KO. Like, they're an army I find really enjoyable to play, but I think they're also an army that brings home to me that I'm not very good at Age of Sigmar. Like, you have to play them really well because the army doesn't have many bodies, is quite fragile, and you have to sort of really focus its damage potential on the thing you need to kill. And what I find quite often happens when I play KO is I try to protect my stuff, so I set it up quite far back. That means most of my guns aren't in range, and I just sort of do small amounts of damage to things. Then I get impatient, go aggressive, and then everything dies. And it's like, I feel like I'm definitely not playing them very well, but I'm not entirely sure what I need to do to play them better, if that makes sense. So if you're listening to this and you're a good KO player, email us and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I think I'm not always very good at target priority, and that's obviously at the absolute top most important thing. Like, it's quite easy to just go, what is the thing I can actually kill? And sometimes that's a quite irrelevant thing that doesn't really matter, so I should probably be better at thinking, what things are going to let my opponent score points and how can I damage them? And I think I also need to be better at thinking multiple turns ahead. Like, I think with KO, priority rolls are incredibly important, so you probably need to do a bit more planning for the turn roll and kind of, you know, are you playing for a double turn or what's your backup plan if you don't get it and so forth? Or, you know, if you're taking this thing out this turn, is it because you're going to do something in two turns' time? I'm probably not as good at that as I should be. And I'm also, I think the thing I do know I need to do better is get the most out of the heroes. So they're there for kind of specific purposes. Like, the chemist is mainly there because he can have a spell in a bottle and let a purple sun off. The Admiral has sort of once per battle abilities that came in the White Dwarf update, which are good. The Navigator can debuff flying units' movement. But as well as those things, because you've got a limited amount of bodies, you really need them also to be doing damage and being in places where they can be useful and buffing things at the right time. And I was finding that quite often they would just sit in a boat, and at the end of the game, they would still be in that boat, and that is definitely not making most effective use of them. Like, I probably need to be dropping them off in relevant places on the battlefield where they're going to do some board control and be able to grab an objective and things. And that I definitely have not got the hang of at all.
I've always felt a bit underwhelmed by the KO heroes, and then people, you take like three or whatever, and it's somehow 400 points.
Yeah.
And it never quite feels like it does enough.
Yeah.
Like the Admiral is actually reasonably decent in combat, but obviously you're not going to be in combat all that much with KO, so it's trying to figure out how to utilise them.
They're just like classic combat heroes where they're all right, but they've actually got three attacks.
Yeah.
And it just contains so much ability to do absolutely nothing, even to the squishiest thing, that
The one I have found really effective in the past is the Endred Master in Dirigible Suit.
Yeah.
It's really good, but it's quite a lot of points, so he doesn't really fit well into the list I was trying to use, because you'd have to drop something else meaningful to put him in.
But if you give him the Barrack Zon kit...
If you give him just the most fun you can have with him.
I feel like I have not seen a non-dirigible suit Endred Master since that model came out.
Yeah, people do take them because they're reasonably cheap and, you know, they're
quite
fine.
Hitty, aren't they?
Yeah, they're okay. I don't think I've ever run mine, but other people take them.
They still have the thing where they can, like, overcharge themselves and take a risk at taking damage to...
I'm going to shamefully say I don't actually know, because I don't think I've ever.
If you've never taken it, why would you?
But they've, you know, you do see them. They're not awful.
It's going to turn out Rich is just thinking about Clan Scryer.
Maybe just thinking about rats, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, I was a little bit dispirited overall by KO. I think it would definitely. To be fair, I've only played two games, and obviously you need to play way more than that to figure out what you're doing for an army. But it did make me feel like I was not very good at Age of Sigmar, which I was a little bit. Sad about. So I guess I need to figure out a new KO list that is less dependent on the Purple Sun and the Incarnate and see what else I can do.
Yeah.
I think
Warblinding Vortex back in.
We'll see. Which I do, one of the games I played was against you with your Nighthorn, so I don't know if you've got any reflections from the other side of that battle.
I think Nighthorn were... Reflections. I guess I was playing Scarlet Doom Nighthaunt list with two units of 20 Blade Geists. So the opportunity to put out quite a lot of mortal wounds, which KO don't like.
They do
really
not.
And actually, like, the little units of Arknauts sitting on and Thunderers and stuff sitting on objectives also just sort of don't like the high volume average quality attacks that Nighthaunt could put out. Especially at the time, that was sort of pre-point choices. Oh, it might have been... No, it was post the, like, interim Purple Sun change, so I had the Purple Sun as well, which is effectively giving the Blade Geist extra rend, and that starts really eating stuff. I will say, like, I was surprised that went my way, because I'm very scared of Unleash Hell from KO stuff, because you put yourself either in range of all the embarked stuff or a hell of a lot of guns on, like, a frigate or an ironclad, and one of the great works is that you get to, like, fire the main cannon another time at the end of the charge phase, right? So
I do think the minus one to hit from Unleash Hell really, really hurts, because most KO stuff hits on threes, so with Unleash Hell it hits on fours, and you don't get that many attacks, so it becomes extremely swingy.
As you guys talked about it, I was sort of thinking about it, and this seems like a real, real bad matchup for KO. Like, there's so much KO don't like really mobile, fast-flying melee armies. They're relying on low volume of higher-end attacks, like, one couldn't give a shit, like, there's a lot.
It's not that high rend. It's mostly rend one, so it's not the no rend bit is not too bad, I would say. But yeah, the mobility is a problem, definitely. But I definitely felt like I had capacity to do damage to stuff, because, like, units of 20 Blade Geists, if you fire an ironclad into them, it's going to do significant work.
Yeah. Also, just the things where, like, if you're protecting heroes with, like, a block of six or nine spirit hosts, and then you're, like, able to guarantee with the combo of heroes you normally have in that kind of Nighthorn army, you can pretty much guarantee that you can, like, if there's any wounds on any of them, you can heal those wounds back, and then you can drop a model back into the unit as well.
That was definitely an instance of me having bad target priority, because I think I started off trying to kill some of the small heroes and kept leaving people on one wound, and then you'd just heal them all up. So in the end, I just switched it and started. I probably should just have targeted Blade Geists from the beginning.
Yeah, without the Blade Geists, I mean, that army, that is the core of that army, really. So not the ideal matchup for KO, I don't think.
So few things are.
that's the problem. That's the problem, right? Is that they're just sort of perennially struggling a bit at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I feel better about it if everyone was struggling with them, but some people are going 5-0 with them, which does make me think it's a me problem, not an army problem.
They seem hard to play. Like, yeah, I find they are, quite definitely. Hard to play against, yeah. Like, in terms of keeping track of everything they do. Yeah. So,
yeah, they definitely are a hard to play army, but the one I would like to be able to play well and feel like.
Given that you own it.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
They're a classic smile and nods as your opponent tells you what all their stuff does. So you're like, okay. That sounds bullshit.
Rolls a lot of dice, eh?
yeah, fine.
The armies Otherwise, it's fine. But the other game I've played was with Gargants, and that had the opposite effect of making me remember that Gargants are really fun. So this was the first game I played with them since the new Battle Tome. I think it was initially a bit down about the new Battle Tome. I think it's probably made the army slightly worse, I guess. The fact that they now the amount of models they count for on objectives degrades, which is a very sensible change and one that I am entirely in favour of. But it is quite a big nerf to how they perform, because that was the thing that was really, really good for them before, was that even if your Gargant survived on one wound, it still counted for 20 models on an objective, which was significant. There's also sort of been a general shift where the Mega Gargants, and actually the smaller Gargants as well, have fewer attacks, but they're a bit higher damage, which I was initially quite opposed to. I think having played with them, I'm maybe less opposed to it. I think it's nice that when an attack goes through, it feels significant. It does make them a little bit more swingy, but yeah. I don't think it's as big a hit to them as I initially perhaps thought it was. Yeah. So I'm not going to go into lots of details of the game I played, because it was quite a casual game. I was playing a friend who had a Deepkin list, and it wasn't a super competitive Deepkin list, and I had extremely hot dice and did it fairly well and had almost tabled him by the end of turn two. But yeah, it was
I feel that in the Deepkin.
Yeah. So whether he had a fun game, I don't know. But it was just a nice reminder for me of it's quite fun to watch your big models run across the table and hit things really hard. Also, I think War Stompers are a lot better in the current meta, because they have a rule where the number of attacks they get depends on the number of enemy models around them. And my previous experience of running War Stompers was a lot of your War Stomper fights a monster. It gets, I think there was one a war that they got four, it counted as four basically.
Yeah.
So they would get, you know, some attacks, but they very rarely got 10. And in the game I played the other day, my War Stomper fought Namati and it got 10 attacks. And it was great. And also that means they degrade less, sort of relative to the other Gargants when they take damage, because they don't lose their number of attacks, go down as much. So I think War Stompers are in a reasonable place, and they're also the cheapest of the Megas. So yeah, the list I ran at the last Brotherhood, I can run a similar list with two Megas and Kragnos, and now I can fit two baby Gargants in, whereas previously I only had one. So that's nice. You know, the baby Gargants aren't amazing, but they're also not bad.
They got worse, which sort of makes not a lot of sense.
They got worse in some ways, but they were only ever really good at doing damage to chaff. You know, they've never been very good at throwing them into anything good. And a lot of their purpose is to do things like bait the Unleash Hell that otherwise would have gone into Kragnos. They gained shooting attacks, which is quite nice, I think.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of... So before, there was a weird ability where... But they also run in
charge, right?
Pass off to them before, couldn't
you? Yeah, like... and now it's just on their war scroll.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of...
They can't run and shoot, can they? So
they can't run and shoot, no.
Because you'll be running them a lot, I think. So.
Yeah, no, you absolutely are. But also a lot of what they did is not in the actual attacks on the war scroll. It's in like the impact hits and the picking a model up and stuffing them in their bag and that kind of thing. And they still do that. So while I think their profile has got a bit worse, I think it's not actually that meaningful in terms of how they impact the game. They will still reasonably stomp a unit of chaff, and they will still not do anything to something that isn't chaff. But, you know, they still count for 10 models on objectives. They are quite good as sort of, for the sort of baiting and leash and that kind of stuff. And in an army, you know, having 5 models rather than 4 is quite significant for board control purposes and having stuff that can stand on back objectives and that kind of thing.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'm not, you know, I don't think they're in an amazing place in the meta, but I was previously quite unenthused to play them. And I think having had a game with them, it kind of reminded me that
Yeah.
Especially after trying to play with KO, which is very techie. Having an army that is not and just wants to run across the board and thump things was quite enjoyable.
So the specific change that stood out as odd for me is they doubled the damage on their club, bonk, bonk, but then they more than halved the number of attacks they get. And I think one thing you saw people do, most people just ran four megas and got on with their lives. But I think when you saw people run the cloud of baby ones, is you saw them in hunters.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that more than halving the attacks is a lot of lost damage if you do the same thing again.
You can put obviously them back to how hunters long... now.
Oh yeah, no, that's what I mean. That's
oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yeah. Okay.
So previously they had 10 damage two attacks in what you mean. Bounty hunters, and now they will have 4 damage three attacks.
Yeah, no,
just a lot
fair.
Less damage. Yeah.
But I still think the kind of things they would have been going into with bounty hunters, they'll still do perfectly well against.
Yeah.
I think I've played one whole game, so I'm not the expert on this book, but I still don't think the all Man Crusher army
it's not
is
good.
Very good, especially in a world when there were things that turn off Inspiring Presence. You know, the reason I stopped running a Man Crusher mob was that I had a horrific game against Witches Lumineth where 2 Man Crushers ran away to some elf bullshit, and it made me think I would rather just run them as that's, 3 solo Man Crushers. And then that won't happen again.
So speaking of bullshit turning on Inspiring Presence, how about those Mega Gargons?
Yeah, it's only in a 6-inch range, I think. So unless there's another one that I'm... Because I haven't bought a King Broad and I haven't bought the new Mega Gargon.
They've all got it, right? It's just...
Oh, have they?
Yeah, it's on all of their War Scrolls. It's just an increase in range on the other one. We're all
showing how prepared I was for that game, isn't it?
Because it used to be the -1 bravery, right?
Yes.
Terror, yeah. Enemy units cannot receive Inspiring Presence or they're within 3 of any units with this ability. They've all got it. It's just the 6-inch one is just a specific upgrade.
Shows how well I know my army.
There you go.
Yeah.
So basically anything in melee with a Mega Gargan cannot Inspiring Presence.
I think it's all right.
You just can't. Your shit's just going to run away.
Yeah,
I think what it means is that because Nighthorn already drove up, I just think you will. If I ever have a triumph now, I'm going to take the No Battle Shock triumph. It's not. I'm not even going to think about it. With that and Nighthorn and Horrorghast, I'm not going to take reroll charges. You know.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the time. Okay, not all the time, but a lot of the time, if the Mega Gargant is fighting something that you care about Battleshock with, it's going to do enough damage to... I suppose it incentivizes you to split your attacks more. If it's fighting like a unit that is likely to have to take Battleshock and something else, you might put a small amount of the attacks into the thing that's going to have to take Battleshock to try and
I've played quite a lot of Gargants versus Deepkin with units of 6 eels, and I find they're quite good at killing 4 eels, and that puts you on the squeakiest bum Battleshock of all time. To lose the whole unit, that's a massive change in that specific matchup. And there'll be other matchups as well that's similar, where because bravery generally has been coming down in Age of Sigmar.
Yeah,
no, new releases, you know, like elves and dwarves and stuff are setting bravery 6-7. So I think it is one of the more impactful changes, honestly.
Yeah, no, it is. But as I was saying, I think the guns have got worse in other ways. So
yes,
a buff to something seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm. But compared to the old -1 bravery, that's
astronomical. Yeah, it's massively better than -1 bravery.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm glad they're experimenting with the mechanic. People moaned that Battleshock never did anything before. They were wrong, but they moaned about it. So.
Yeah.
Just play a VR. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And then never get to all-out attack instead.
Yeah. But it's a problem when I play a different army now. I have to remember I can do things. Like, I can redeploy. What's with this?
Can reroll your charges.
Yeah. Well, I always took the reroll charge triumph of OBR, so that one was okay.
Redeploy
is actually the one I missed the most.
It's the world's biggest bait. How many CP do I waste in an average game doing 1-inch redeploys?
Mm-hmm.
It's obscene.
But sometimes it's a 6-inch redeploy. It's the one I miss the most playing OBR. Yeah. Honestly, because find yourself, it's the one I find the hardest to remember I don't have. Someone does something and you think, oh, I can. No, I can't. And then you're sad.
I bloody hate redeploy. Anyway.
Are we done? Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about?
I've not slammed a ham, so.
You see, I'd made notes on what to say in the outro, but I can't now scroll down to those notes because of technical difficulties.
I could tell you about 6 1,000-point narrative games I played, but frankly, A, I can't remember them very well, and B, you can read about it soon on Goonhammer. So,
all right. Do you want to plug anything else you've written for Goonhammer?
Matthew should plug that he wrote the Lumineth Battletome review.
I wrote the Lumineth Battletome review. It's old hat by now, but it was good. Yeah, I think we both should have had stuff out by now, but we don't because life finds a way.
Episode 1 of our Road to Brotherhood article is now out. We should definitely plug that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see Rich again. Did me plugging my mouse in make that happen?
Technically, difficulty lost Rich because, anyway, that's. Okay. So, what we learned is that whenever Laura unplugs her mouse, it makes Rich's microphone break from across the UK. We don't know why.
The effect is only noticeable on Laura's end, so I may tell you.
It's breaking Zencaster.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well. The internet.
Anyone who knows about computers, please email in and explain why this madness is occurring.
Well, in the interim, I have managed to scroll down to the bit where I can see what I'm supposed to say in the outro. So that's
nice.
So, thank you to Tiny Plastic People for hosting us. You can check out the rest of their content at tinyplasticpeople.com, or I think they are on Twitter at tinyplasticpals.
We are
also on Twitter at 32AOS, and the 3 and 2 are in words, not numbers. We very rarely tweet, but we should probably tweet more. So if you tweet at us, it might encourage us to remember we have a Twitter account, which would be good, I guess.
Please do.
You can
I get notifications from the 3-2 account on my phone, but it's to tell me that Cardi B has tweeted.
Well, Matthew, when I set the Twitter up, it literally, you have to follow one person.
You have to follow Cardi B.
So I chose Cardi B rather than Fox News. And I didn't scroll much further. I was presented with an acceptable option and I took it.
We are officially fans of Cardi B then.
Yeah, there you
tweet us and tell us what you think about that, I guess.
New outro music.
Yeah. You can also, if you do have any feedback, you can also send it to us by emailing us at thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. Probably put something about 3 and 2 in your email subject line so that we know it's for us.
We do have our own email address, but I can't remember it. So.
I didn't even know we had one. Okay. Maybe use the one I've just given because someone probably actually checks that and it actually get through. Yeah, we genuinely would love to hear any feedback you have. Tell us what you like or anything you don't like. Tell me how to use my mouse properly so that I don't make Rich disconnect. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Do you have any individual social media or anything else you want to plug, Rich?
You can follow me on Twitter at Rich Nutter. That is basically now carefully curated to be an almost entirely hobby account. So for as long as Twitter is not somewhere I don't want to be, you can find me there. And if not, then I'll start a Signal or something. I don't know.
Jeez. Mastodon. We can all do whatever that's called. Tooting.
Yeah. Tooting.
I think it's actually called tooting. From the last time everyone pretended they were going to fleet them. I'm on Twitter also, and I'm at Matthew CM Ward. I don't tweet much, but I didn't use to hobby tweet at all. And then someone said, hey, follow this guy for Warhammer, and so then I have to. That's it.
Laura, any social meds?
Scops947 on Twitter and Instagram for fairly occasional pictures of stuff I painted.
Nice. That's-
Is that everything we need to say?
Yeah, other than thanks for listening.
All right.
Reviewers, come back next time. Don't hate us, please.
All right.
Goodbye.
Cool.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, that was disturbingly professional.
Yeah. Where was the panic?
I had notes.
Oh my god.
Oh. It'll never catch on.
I can't believe
you've
done this.
To be fair, the notes did result in a whole bunch of faff when I couldn't see them, so you know.